And so we've got a sermon this morning that I prepared. It's going to be the finale for our series on freeway. We've been figuring out how we can be free in Christ. We know that Christ died for our freedom. And a lot of times we're not living as truly free individuals, though. And so we've been going through a process, and there's been steps. And if you've missed it, it's been some great stuff. And so you should go back and watch it on the app or the website. But today we're on step six. And step six of freeway is a fun step. It's freedom. It's the last step. Freedom. Anybody? No, nobody's happy about that. Yeah. Nobody's happy about it. I thought we'd be happy. You know, it's 5 years. A little extra energy. So today we are talking about freedom and the freedom that we have in Jesus. And so as we wind this series up, I want to talk about freedom. I want to explain what it is and what about, because I think there's a problem with freedom is everybody has their own idea of what freedom is. Like, everybody's kind of got their own recipe that they put together to come up with freedom. And I'm not much of a cook. I'm a decent cook when I get the chance. But if your wife is good at cooking and she enjoys it, I think, then she should just cook, right? And so she likes it. And so she does a lot of the cooking. And I'm very appreciative of that. I can do like a grilled cheese. I make some good popcorn. I'm the grill master in our family. And so I do a little bit here and there. And there's been a couple times where I've looked for recipes online. And man, there is a lot there. And so what's hard about recipes, though, is if it's not specific, and some of them are, but some of them aren't, if it's not specific, you don't know, like you don't think the same way that the person who wrote the recipe thinks. And so when they say put a little bit of this in there, you don't know what a little bit is. Is that a pinch, a teaspoon, a tablespoon? It's hard to know what that little bit is. And there's this one website particularly that is probably the worst when it comes to recipes and making other people feel bad if they can't do it just like the way it says on the website. You've probably heard of it. It's called Pinterest, right? It's a website for women. That's just a declarative statement I'm going to throw out there. But every now and then, Allison will show me these recipes on there. And the idea behind Pinterest is that you post a picture of something perfect and amazing that nobody else is able to duplicate, thereby making all that try feel miserable and depressed. That's their mission statement. Their mission statement says, we are a website for women to make other women feel depressed. And likewise, their husbands, whenever they try to do what their wife wants them to do. That's their mission statement. Don't look it up later. But there's a few pictures I found on Pinterest of recipes that people have tried. And so here's the first one. Cookie Monster cupcakes. Has anybody ever tried to make these things? And I bet a few of you have, but the reason your hands are not up is because you attempted to make them and they didn't turn out anything like that. And so typically what happens is they look more like this when you try. So you get the Cookie Monster on one side and a melted Smurf on the other. And the poor one in the back left didn't even get any frosting left. I don't know what happened there. But Minions, of course, are a big deal today. You've got little Timmy and little Susie that want their little Minion birthday cake. And so you go to Pinterest and say, oh, I should do a Minion cake. And the picture's nice. And the Minion cake should look a little bit like this on the screens here. But then you try it. And it just doesn't quite turn out the same way. It turns out a little more like this. Right? It's like an ostrich ate that and did something else after that. I don't know what that is. And there's another picture I saw, and it's a hedgehog cake. And if your kid's ever asking you, hey, mom or dad, I want a hedgehog cake for my birthday this year, like, you probably need therapy. That's just for you. I don't know why anyone would ever hedgehog cake. But one well-meaning mom or dad actually tried to make it, and it turned out not quite to look that way. It was turned out like that. So I don't even know. It looks like pretzel rods. And I don't know where the teeth come from there, but nailed it, right? And the reason I bring this up is because, man, with freedom, everybody's kind of got their own recipe of what it looks like, and nobody really knows. But there's usually two main ingredients that people have in their version of freedom. And the first ingredient they have is this phrase, I can do whatever I want. right? I can just do it. Real freedom is me being able to do whatever I want, however I want, and in whatever way I want to do it. A lot of people think that's freedom. And so if you're talking to a kid, it's like, man, real freedom is going to be when I can do what I want. I can stay up when I want. I can eat what I want. I can have as much screen time as I want. That's what real freedom is. And if I can just do whatever, then I'd be totally free. Then I'd be happy. Then I'd be fulfilled. Then life would come together. Things would happen. Life would be great. And usually the other ingredient that happens in our recipe of freedom is I won't do. So I won't do whatever you think I should do because I don't need to do that. And so I won't change. I won't adjust my behavior. I won't forgive. I won't do my homework. I won't come to church. I won't brush my teeth. I won't do my chores. And we think if we could just mix together a little bit of I can do whatever I want with I won't do whatever you think I should do, that this is real freedom. But I want to tell you that if this is the way the whole world works, it would be an absolute disaster. This recipe for freedom of I can do whatever I want and I won't do whatever you think is an absolute recipe of disaster. And so I want to tell you, because a lot of people think if I can just do whatever I want, it'll be great. And so yeah, you can go drink whatever you want to drink, but I'll tell you what, you keep doing that, there's a pattern in your life that'll happen and pretty soon you're not going to be free. You're going to be under addiction, under alcoholism. You can go out and rack up as much money as you want on your credit cards and buy great things, but man, you're going to be a slave to debt. You can say, I'm just going to keep partying my life away. I'm going to party here, party there, party. But then you realize, you know what? These parties aren't what I thought they would be. And you realize that, man, I thought I would be free if I could just do whatever I want, but there's not freedom going on in my life. In the end, if you live for yourself and your own pleasure with an attitude of I can do whatever I want and I won't do what you think I should do, I guarantee you will end up alone. And being alone is not the recipe for freedom that God has for you. Real freedom isn't freedom from responsibility. Real freedom is to responsibility under God's grace. Real freedom is to responsibility under God's grace. In fact, I would say this. Real freedom trades I can do whatever I want to God can do whatever he wants through me. Amen. When you can say that with confidence and boldness, God can do whatever he wants with me, I guarantee you that's the time where you will experience real freedom. And God leads us to freedom so we can be part of the freedom story in others. And that's why this discussion matters. And so you may say, I'm going to blow off this whole freeway thing. I don't want anything to do with it. And that's your choice. But here's the thing. God leads us to freedom, not just for our own well-being, but because God desires to use me and you in whatever context, situation, circumstance, and circle of relationship that we are in so that we can point others to the same freedom that we have in Jesus Christ. And so one of the goals of this sermon series is for you to experience freedom. But I want you to know this sermon series is not just about you. You thought this sermon series was about you, didn't you? Don't you? Whatever it is, but it's not. You're part of it, but man, you experience freedom to help others experience freedom. My main point this morning is that God rescued you to be a rescuer of others. God rescued you to be a rescuer of others. He wants to use your stories, your pain, your past. And the great news with God is nothing is wasted in your life. If you've got a past, if you've got a struggle, if you've got sin in your life, I guarantee you God wants to use that and will use that if you experience freedom in him to do great and powerful things to help so many others. If you've ever been through an eating disorder and you thought that's just a part of my life that I don't want to explore anymore, I'm done with that, praise God that you overcame that. But might it be that God would want to use you to help others that are going through the same issues right now with their image and just not feeling accepted and approved, and so doing things with their body that they're not supposed to be doing? If God gave you a past of alcoholism or addiction, and by the grace of God and by his power, the supreme being, which by the way is God, by his power, you've overcome that. Praise God. But maybe, just maybe, in fact, more than maybe, yes, God wants to use your story to help other people. Don't think that because, man, I got a past and I've got sin in my life, and so God can't use me. No, what if God wants to leverage your past to help others find freedom? Because he doesn't use perfect people. He uses people that are real and transparent and authentic and that have a bit of a history and a past. What I love about God is he does not recruit from the pedestal. He recruits from the pit. And so if you've ever been disappointed, if you've ever disappointed God or let him down, if you've ever been wounded, hurt, or disappointed in your life, if you've ever felt like you've failed, you are uniquely qualified to be a wounded healer and rescuer of other people. You are uniquely qualified to take that freedom that God has given to you and to give to someone else. And we've got a story we're going to look at in John chapter 4. If you want to use the Bibles in the fronts, you can, of the seats, you can use those. If you don't have a Bible, please not only take that for the service, but out of this place as well. That's your Bible. It's our gift to you. And in this story, Jesus is going to talk to a Samaritan woman. But first you need to know he's walking into the town of Samaria, and you have to understand that racial tensions are nothing new in our day. It was happening back then as well. There was a deep racial divide between Jews and Samaritans. Jews viewed Samaritans as like these second-class citizens and these half-breeds. Samaritan people were a mix of Jewish and Samaritan. And so the Jewish people didn't feel like the Samaritans deserved anything. No land, no blessing, no relationship with God. And so they were ostracized and hated by the Jewish people. And so typically then, in that day, if a Jew was going to go from Judea to Galilee, what they would do is they would go through the Jordan River and cross it up the side and then pass back through the Jordan River so they could get to Galilee, because they didn't want to have the conversations. There was racism going on back then, and that's not what they wanted to be. And so they would go literally around it to get to the place where they needed to be. And what's amazing about this story is Jesus doesn't go around the racial divide. He cuts right into the center of it. And is that not the answer for the racism problem we're having in our country right now? That we would stop going around the side, but cut right to the heart of it with Jesus Christ. Amen. And so here we are, Jesus on a road trip right through Samaria, and we pick up the story because Jesus is thirsty, so he crashes at a well. In verse 6, Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about noon. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" And so not only is Jesus crossing a racial divide, but he's also crossing a gender barrier as well, as when rabbis didn't talk to women in those days. And so there's all sorts of things at play here. But the first thing you need to see is that typically in that day, a woman in that day would go and they would receive water in the morning when they woke up, so they would have enough for the day. And they would go a second time right before sunset, so they would have enough to go through the night. When did this woman go to the well? At noon, during the heat of the day. And you say, why would this woman go in the heat of the day? And all the scholars believe, and we can probably tell from this story, that the reason she goes in the heat of the day, the most inconvenient time, she's doing it on purpose. And the purpose is because she has a reputation and she has a past and she's made mistakes, and she's going at noon specifically so she doesn't have to run into anyone else. She doesn't want to be seen, noticed, or have to interact with people. She knows that if she goes at noon, she won't have to have those awkward conversations. She won't have those families that maybe she's passing by and they're all talking about her and pointing at her. She's planning this out very well so nobody would be there, so she could avoid everybody. And there's the least amount of people that are there at that time. Kind of what you do when you plan your trip to Walmart. Right? You just want to go when there's not as many people, you know? She wasn't expecting anyone there, and here's Jesus, crossing all gender barriers, culture barriers, racial barriers. And Jesus is making a declaration by sitting at that well before he even says a word, that nobody, nobody is outside the reach of God's love. Amen. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You're a Jew and I'm a Samaritan. How can you ask me for a drink?" Jesus answered her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. So she knows the rules. She knows that she's reminding Jesus, hey, this conversation shouldn't be happening. But then Jesus, like he often does, flips the script and says, if you knew who it was that was talking to you, you would actually ask me for a drink and I wouldn't just give you physical water. I'd give you living water. He's taking the conversation from a physical cup of water to a spiritual place in her heart. He wants to start quenching the thirst that she's always had in her life, not just a physical thirst. And so verse 15, the woman said to him, sir, give me this water so I won't get thirsty. I have to keep coming here to draw water. He told her, go call your husband and come back. Verse 17, I have no husband, she replied. And Jesus said to her, you are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is you have had five husbands and the man you have is now not your husband. What you have just said is quite true. And we're thinking, dang, Jesus, like, calm down. Like, he's just dropping the mic on this girl, you know? You don't have one, you have five, plus another one. It's like, whoa, that's gutsy right there. But I love that Jesus cuts through all the junk and the mess and gets right to the heart issue. And there are people every day today that are just like this woman. She may have been looking for approval and acceptance in another man, and she thought the sixth man would be the one to finally give it to her. There's a lot of us in here that'll go to the well of accomplishment, the well of achievement, the well of, if I can just get out of this situation into a different relationship, if I can just get that job, that car, if I can buy that house, if I can meet that guy, if I can meet that woman, then that's everything that I'll always need. And God says, no. I'm going to give you something that nobody and nothing in this world can satisfy. Nobody can provide for you what I'm about to give you. Do you understand? Do you understand? Nobody can do that, because I don't think we understand in this world, because we keep chasing after men and women and accomplishment and achievement and success. And in this series on freedom, I hope last week you learned that there's nothing you can do to gain God's approval, but he already has. Accepted you, approved you, chosen you. And I can go through the ABCs again if you want, like we did last week, but you can go back and look at that. So she knows fully well that there's been a conversation flip here, and she realizes what's happening. In verse 25, the woman said, I know that Messiah is coming, and when he comes, he will explain everything to us. Then Jesus declared, I, the one speaking to you, am he. Second mic drop, right? Did Jesus know he was God? Did Jesus declare he was God? Absolutely he did. He's been God from the beginning, and he's still God today, and he's still changing lives today, just like he was with this woman here. Just then, his disciples returned and were surprised to find him talking with a woman, but I love it. They were surprised, but he says, but no one asked. Like, at this point in their relationship, there's no, hey, Jesus is going to do his thing. I'm not going to get in there, or he's going to start saying something about Satan, I rebuke you, and get behind me, and all that other stuff he said to his disciples when they didn't understand. And so no one asked, what do you want, or why are you talking with her? Then, leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, come, see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah? And they came out of the town and made their way toward him. And what I love about this story is at noon that day, she went to the well not wanting to talk to anyone, avoiding everyone. And after one conversation with Jesus, she goes back into the town and cannot stop, cannot help but to declare, this man just told me everything I've ever done. Could this be the Messiah? All of a sudden, the people she was trying to avoid, she's now filled with the living water of God inside of her. And she goes back to those same people she was trying to avoid, and she can't keep her mouth shut because of how good God was to her. And I want to say the same thing ought to be the case for us. That, man, God gives us living water today and says, I've got what only can satisfy you and provide for you eternally. I'm the only one. I am He. It doesn't say all roads lead to the same path. Jesus said, I am He. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. There is no other way to the Father. There is no other way for acceptance and approval. There is no other way to receive living water except through me and me alone. Jesus was not ashamed to say that. And we ought not be ashamed to water down the gospel today and tell other people that there's other ways when we very clearly know it's Christ in us that's going to be the thing that saves not only us, but others. But what I love about this woman is God can use your biggest failure to be the launching pad of your greatest calling. He uses it in this woman, and in an instant, man, she's changed her story. And she's out there talking to the same people. And the natural kickback is, well, Zach, you don't know my story. You don't know my past, my hurts, my struggles, my pain, all the stuff that I went through. You don't know any of that. And so God wouldn't want to use me because he uses people that have it together and that are perfect. But I want to tell you, where did you ever hear that lie? God uses broken people, and it's in the broken parts of us that God's grace is most seen and most visible. God chooses those on the fringes to be his brightest lights in this community. And the reason they're the brightest lights is because they were a bright light. They were on the fringe and nobody wanted anything to do with them. And when you look at them, they think, how did they do that? And you would know it's not them. It's Christ in them. Amen. I'll wrap up with the story. Verse 39. After this woman's testimony, many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I ever did. How many of you want me to tell you everything you ever did today? It's probably not going to be good. So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged Jesus to stay with them, this Jewish man of which they shouldn't be talking with, of which he shouldn't be staying. And he stayed 2 days. And look at this. Because of his words, many more became believers. They said to the woman, we no longer believe just because of what you said. No, now we've heard for ourselves. And we know that this man really is the Savior of the world. We are on a mission much like this woman, where we go out and we tell our story. And we don't just believe, they don't just believe because we told our story. No, we tell our story and point them to Jesus. And then they find out who Jesus is. And Jesus is the one that saves them. So when you no longer believe, and people aren't going to believe just because of what you said. But when you say something, that gives them the opportunity to investigate, to come, to attend church by chance or to a small group. And for them to actually hear the life-giving, identity-changing word words of Jesus Christ, that they are loved by the God of the universe that made them. That's the opportunity that we have to take whatever past, whatever story, whatever things have happened in our lives, and to go share that with others so that they would have the same opportunity that you and I are having right now to hear about the words of Jesus Christ. And we do this together because some people can use a video and a camera, some can use a frying pan, some can use a mouse, and some can use their mouth. And we do it together as much as we can as a church so that we can bring many more into the fold of God. Into his grace. I want to tell you today is about your redemption, but tomorrow is about rescuing others. Redemption is our story today. Rescue is our story moving forward. What is that? Reverb. Good. You need to hear it again. That's what that's telling me. Redemption is our story today. And rescue is our mission moving forward. And Jesus says to this woman, I've got living water. And the awesome thing this weekend is so many are experiencing that living water for the first time. We baptized 18 individuals yesterday. We've got at least 11 more today. And if you want to be baptized, we're not going to turn you down today. We've got the water out there in the parking lot. We're going to do it outside after service, about 15 minutes after service is over. I hope a lot of you will stay and celebrate all the life that God is bringing. And in the waters of baptism, some of you are like, I'm not sure if that's the right next step for me. Listen, if you've never been baptized, but you want to follow after Jesus and something's striking in you, that is a good next step. Because in the living water of baptisms connected to the words, I baptize, baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I guarantee you, you receive the Holy Spirit in your life. You receive forgiveness of sins in your life. You are welcomed into the greatest church family, I believe, in the history of the world right here at the cross. And you are God's child, chosen and secured by the grace of Jesus. If you don't know how that goes, we've got a table out there. We can talk to you about it. If you weren't dressed right, we got a shirt we'd love to give you. But we want to bring as much life change because we are about redemption today and rescue tomorrow. God, we thank you for who you are. We thank you for what you've done. God, I thank you that you have healed us and that you've given us freedom. We thank you for the freedom found only in Jesus and his blood and the amazing gift that you've given to all of us. We come to you today and we know we're not perfect and we know we don't have it all together. And so we just come and we say, God, that guilt is not going to be our identity. Shame is not going to define us. Darkness is not going to have the last word. Redemption is our story today and rescue is our mission. Moving forward. And so God, I declare it over this church. We will rescue others for we have been rescued and we do not want to keep what you've done inside of us. We want to tell the world, Jesus, that you and you alone are the only true God. You are our hero. You are our savior. And only in you do we find exactly what we need. Jesus, redeem us. Rescue us so we can rescue others. Stand up on our feet and worship the God who rescued us with his love. Just worship God.